Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He is our Chiefs contributor. I have no idea if you like to publicly speak. Are you good with that or no?
Yeah, I am, and it's kind of funny hearing you say that about Gold, because I think a lot of people automatically assume if you can do radio at whatever level Gold does radio at, I'm going to say above average, you know, just to be generous.
Yeah, you know, five and a half, six.
if you can be a 5.5 radio host, you could probably be at least a 4.5 public speaker, right? But they really are two very different things. Ultimately, you're really just talking to Drew all day as opposed to in front of a large room of people. I'm pretty comfortable with both at this point.
I'm just talking to like Drew and an open window with cars going by on Shawnee Mission Parkway. I think maybe it's come with age. I don't know what it is. I've gotten worse at it, I think, because we'll go and do station events, right? Where like part of the job is like, hey, interact and shake hands and glad hand with people. And I am so awkward in those situations. Like I'm terrible in those situations almost. I imagine the text line would agree with me.
Well, so that's interesting because of I think three different little like branches of interpersonal interactions. That might also be the one that I'm worst at. I think that's a third thing though.
Yeah,
public
that's fair.
Speaking versus small talk, kind of move around, meet people, all of that. Again, you know, for whatever skills I didn't get that would have allowed me to perhaps play sports at a professional level, I did have the right genealogy behind me to talk at a professional level at most depths. I come from a long generation of yappers.
Yeah, yeah. I've decided that I was one of seven, and it's like, I just don't feel like anyone's listening to me enough. And I'm like, well, I'll get a microphone, and then I'll show the rest of you. You'll have no choice but to listen to me. You're stuck now. Anyway, let's talk about the Chiefs-Bills game coming up this Sunday. It's obviously it's a massive game for both teams. As far as what it means for the number one seed, we all understand in the long scheme, it's can you beat the Chiefs in the postseason or we don't care. But Harrison Butker news that came out of nowhere yesterday, I pointed out, while I do think it's a big injury, just like any big injury, because you've taken a serious downgrade at the position, the idea that I wouldn't trust him to make any kick or I'd rather have Justin Reed make extra points, Harrison Butker was a practice squad player they picked up in the middle of the season. I'm not saying Spencer Schrader is Harrison Butker, but I imagine he can do a serviceable job for the next month.
Yeah, and you just have to hope that whatever the Dave Toe, Brett Veach special team scouting brain trust looks like can produce something similar. Now, look, we had, Matthew Wright and Matthew Amendola, I believe, for the period of time that Butker missed when he got hurt in the Cardinals game, right? First game of the year? Is that him and McDuffie the same time?
Yeah.
Whatever that period of time was, though, that he missed and kind of had his ongoing ankle issue and everything, it was a journey. I feel okay about it. I do think it's hilarious. It's like, all right, welcome to the reigning back-to-back champions, young man. You're going to go kick in the windiest stadium in football, most likely, but in a game between two teams that have generational trauma at the kicker position.
Uh-huh.
So it really is like a huge spot for him, but I think it'll be okay if I had to make my bet early on.
Yeah, I just don't like, I'm not saying it's not nothing, But it's not as important as when they lost Rashee Rice or when they lost corner two, right? Jalen Watson. It's not as big of a deal as when, like, those are more impactful injuries. I think it's less impactful than when they lost Pacheco, at least on that end. So, like, those are more impactful injuries. I just think everyone lives in this fear that is, it's 21-20, it's the fourth quarter, 45 yards away with 5 seconds to go, and Schrader stepping up to the kick. And then you're like, because then Monday morning is, damn it, they'd be 10-0. If Harrison Butker still existed.
Yes. That I think is the reasonable fear of all of this. Like, I'd even extend it to say, if you let me have a magic wand of a magical healing spell for either Harrison Butker or Charles Aminihou. Charles Aminihou is a more impactful football player, but what people, and the reason the Chiefs made Butker the highest paid kicker in football this offseason, and the reason that people rightfully think about Butker in those big moments, is because they are the biggest moments. You don't really think about his first 3 or 4 kicks of a game, by and large. No. Maybe it's at the end of a half, or maybe it's hitting a 60-yarder or whatever, but a lot of that's business as usual. And again, I don't want to undercut and say that he's, like, average outside of big moments. He's not. He's the best kicker in football. But when you think about sealing a Super Bowl victory or punching your ticket to the next round of the playoffs, that ball's usually coming off Harrison Butker's foot. So the one thing that he's really allowed them to do over the years is that idea of, like, all right, Mahomes, you don't need a touchdown. You need to get to, like, the 35. And at that point, we'll just hand it over to Butker, and we feel pretty good about winning the football game from that moment. That line moves way up, and you can't fully trust that it's going to be as automatic as it has been for Butker. So I would love for it not to be 21-20 with the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands with, like, 45 seconds left. I'd rather them handle this before that moment comes around, because that very well could matter. The big thing here, of course, is that it seems like Butker should be okay for the playoffs, and then hopefully this isn't stress we have to take into January.
Well, I think the way in which it makes it interesting to me is, I think Andy Reid, especially this year, because they know how good the defense is and they've got 2 years in a row of doing it. Yep. I think Andy Reid is perfectly fine with taking what you just said, a 50-yard field goal. He's like, it's fine. Like, I don't need to be overly aggressive. And he's never been that aggressive of a coach. How much more aggressive is he with a kicker he doesn't know?
Pretty, like subjectively here, I'm going to say 25% more aggressive. Does that, like
he, that's actually almost the perfect number for him, weirdly enough. So I hope you're right. I wish he was 25% more aggressive, like, now.
Yes, 100%. So do I. The funny thing is that, you know, there's like another 25% of aggression that I think he's moving. I wish Andy Reid was 50% more aggressive, I think, by and large. Because you have those gray areas where it's either punt or try to keep the football, or you have those gray areas where it's long field goal or try to keep the football. And I think Andy Reid will, if it's fourth and, I'll tell you this, if it's 4th and 4, but they're at their own 40-yard line on Sunday, they should obviously be going for that, right?
I mean,
they should be anyway.
But he might punt.
I can't let that happen. That's the one for me where when it's Butker, and I'm kind of picked that yard marker sort of arbitrarily, but what would that be, like a 56-yarder or something for Butker to try? Butker's probably trying a 55-yarder or
yes.
So. They're not sending the Schrader out there for a 55-yarder. So just leave Patrick Mahomes on the field so Matt Araiza doesn't go out there and put it through the end zone, which is something that he's been doing at a very high rate recently. Like, don't do this for 20 yards of field position. I think Reid will get those decisions correct. If it's 4th and 3 at the 15, I think they're going to kick the field goal.
If you had to, so like I've been asked this question when appearing on like other stations or those things, because I think it is kind of a tough thing to quantify. So I'm curious how you answer it. How would you explain to others how it is the Chiefs are doing what they're doing at 9-0, maybe they get to 10-0 this weekend, while missing all the players? What do you think the Chiefs are legitimately great at? Because they are missing a huge chunk of their roster for a large majority of this season. What do you think the Chiefs are great at that allows them to get to the record they're at?
This is the Broncos game is the perfect encapsulation of what I think the answer to that question is. Point one is that they're the best in football at having Patrick Mahomes. Like, that is,
you know what? That's a great thing to be great at.
It really is. It sounds sarcastic, but I honestly completely seriously mean it. When you have the quarterback that changes games, that changes your goal, like moves your goalposts almost literally up towards you, when you have that guy and Travis Kelce, even a little bit from DeAndre Hopkins in his first few games here, you have an offensive line that can kind of help you set your floor in the running game at least, obviously left tackle notwithstanding at the moment. or at least notwithstanding for last week. But they do already have a relatively high floor because of their great players, and they have an incredibly high ceiling because of Mahomes. The other thing, though, is that the people have been talking about this for ages, and I think it's just hard to wrap your head around it and to pinpoint exactly where this comes from. You talk about the Chiefs finding a way to win, and that they're great at finding a way to win. And that's, like, true. We can see that, but it's very hard to figure out why that is. I think part of it is all the way to that blocked field goal at the end of the Broncos game, man. When you have scouting and coaching throughout the week that leads you up to knowing what you're working on, and then you have players like Leo Chanel, who's a physical freak, who's locked in for that moment, he also believes, like Kareem Hunt said this on his mic'd up that the Chiefs put out yesterday or 2 days ago, where Kareem Hunt was like, "Nah, we're gonna block this. This will be fine." And then later was telling somebody
such a
like,
calm way, like, eh.
Right. Well, and he said, "Oh, this is 2 weeks in a row. I've never seen anything like this." Well, you have a home walk-off in overtime. You have a blocked field goal the next week at Arrowhead. Mecole Hardman scored a game-winning walk-off touchdown in the Super Bowl. Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore have Super Bowl moments. There should be no player active on game day who is completely confident that they will not make the play to win the football game. That there is a legitimate chance that Peyton Hendershot will touch down to beat the Buffalo Bills. There's a legitimate chance that Carson Wentz will be on the field to beat the Buffalo. Every level of that, there is something legitimate to it. So it really is to me, coaching and preparation and talent, and then believing that that combination is going to put you in a position to win. And of course, they've earned that. It's not just you got to believe. They've earned it. They've won two straight championships, and they haven't played their best football for long stretches of any of those seasons. I think it's a big, big answer with a lot of factors, but I think a lot of factors are what it takes to build a dynasty.
So anytime we like talk about like not just you and I, just anytime we talk about like teams and matchups and okay, there's no Dalton Kincaid. That seems like it really favors Kansas City, a team that, you know, is terrible against tight ends, generally speaking, yeah. Or the things that would like go into that. I don't feel like we ever compare, like we don't go into a game like we should every game and be like, who are the two head coaches of these teams real quick?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, in a couple of weeks, it'd be like, okay, so one's Andy Reid and the other one's Antonio Pierce. Yep. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I can tell you which way I'm leaning on that one. So where are you on Sean McDermott? Because, like, in their division, Harbaugh has obviously made the division coaching significantly better. Pierce stinks. Peyton is a respected NFL head coach. Where do you think Sean McDermott lands in the pantheon of NFL head coaches?
I have a really hard time getting him anywhere out of the middle of the pack.
Yeah, like 10. That's where I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you're going to get to a point where you have some, you know, plenty of dysfunctional teams and then teams with coaches who just haven't won anything yet, that maybe they will and maybe they never will, but it's a little early to call your shot there. I look at Buffalo. The thing with them that's interesting this year, so their two losses are to the Ravens and Texans, two very good teams. The Ravens have obviously been hotter since then than Houston. But I expected this Bills team to take a step back. Now, obviously, the rest of the AFC East was in a race to the back, so that wasn't really an ongoing concern for the division.
No.
But I really thought that they had kind of put together their best two chances. The Chiefs obviously trounced them, or at least got past them both times. And then I thought this was going to be a little bit of a reset year for Buffalo, and Josh Allen's been playing tremendous football that I think has largely erased a lot of those things that I was expecting. That makes it even harder to evaluate McDermott, though, because I don't think terribly highly of him from a schematic standpoint or from a, you know, leadership culture standpoint. But they've gotten a lot more out of this defense, I think, than a lot of people were expecting based off the talent they had coming into the year. So that's a point in McDermott's favor. And he has a quarterback who is playing like Josh Allen should be at this point. I would also argue in years past, McDermott had kind of gotten in Allen's way a little bit, where some of the big reckless things that every conservative head coach wants to get out of a quarterback, I understand why. But when you have Josh Allen, you just need to kind of steer into the skid a little bit sometimes and let the man live. He's doing that now, though. I mean, you're going to get some Superman plays while Josh Allen has also, I'm talking about Josh Allen because I can only not talk about Josh Allen for so long, but he is mentally playing the sport of football at a very high level right now. He is quarterbacking, like capital Q quarterbacking, along with everything else that he does physically. And so I think that seeing that relationship between Allen and McDermott seem a little less fraught, seeing the Bills defense take a little bit more of a step than we were thinking, I do think he's certainly moved in the right direction so far this season, but I also would not put him in that top 10 of when I think a coach is like an active positive for a team.
It's like so hard with like Josh Allen. I like, at times I feel a little bad for him because his biggest problem in his career is that he exists in a world in which Patrick Mahomes also exists.
Yep.
And some bizarro multiverse in which Patrick Mahomes chooses to play professional baseball instead and is like a three-time World Series champion. Yep. Josh Allen's career might look a lot different. I straight up asked Mike Shope, who's a host over at WGR in Buffalo, said, what would Josh Allen's career look like if Patrick Mahomes was just in the NFC? Mm. Like, if we just flipped the conference, yep. Do you think he'd have an MVP or two MVPs? Do you think he'd have a Super Bowl appearance or Super Bowl wins? And I'm like, yeah, I think he'd probably have a Super Bowl win and an MVP. And someone's like, well, he just lost to Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I'm like, well, I'll just, in my hypothetical, he goes the 1 year Mahomes doesn't in the NFC, I guess, right?
Right, yeah.
When he beats the Eagles every year or the 49ers in the NFC title game every year.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It's true to some extent for Burrow, but I think it's way more true, and to some extent for Lamar, but I think it's mostly the truest for Josh Allen, because I also think Josh Allen, in a lot of ways, would be the face of football. He would be every 13-year-old's favorite football player, right? Like, just everything that he does is so much fun. I genuinely love watching Josh Allen, and I think he's clearly the second best quarterback in football right now, and he's had a better season in a lot of ways than Mahomes has, but, you know, if I'm ranking quarterbacks, it's Mahomes and then a gap and then Allen and then another gap, for me at least, before you get to kind of the next tier.
When you look at what to expect from this game upcoming this weekend, how would you have handled this week at left tackle? Obviously, Wanya has to start and he's been practicing all week. Yeah. But honestly, I don't think Kingsley can be put in a position that he is one slight knee twist away from having to go back to Kingsley. I am a little surprised they did not go look out on the veteran market for someone on a practice squad or something just to, like, cover their ass a little.
Yeah, I can't fight you on that too much. The other thing that's a problem there is that Kingsley's your swing tackle right now, too. Like, Ethan Driscoll's on the 53-man roster, but he's been a healthy scratch every week because he's just redshirting, and he's a giant, and the Chiefs have a long-term view for him. But that means that your active tackles every week are just Wanya Morris, Kingsley Suamataia, and Juwan Taylor. I even wondered at some point, and I guess we could see later today, to your point, Lucas Niang is on the practice squad. I do not think they love Lucas Niang. They cut him to keep Ethan Driscoll active, so that might be a little bit more of a desperation move. We're not going to see Chu Godrick yet. He's the international player, so he has an exception on the practice squad there. But maybe Lucas Niang could be a call-up to try to add a little bit of depth there. That's actually something I hadn't considered until now that would make a lot of sense, noting that Wanya also is banged up. If Wanya gets hurt and Kingsley gets hurt, now you're moving Tooney out to left tackle, and then you're getting Caliendo at left guard, I guess. All that to say, it's really, really hard for me right now to see a world in which Kingsley plays legitimate snaps this year and isn't an absolute panic attack experience for everybody watching, the Chiefs included, right? Like, it's just, it was really, really evident. So I think Donovan Smith makes sense at some point. He would not have been able to play today, I don't think, anyway.
No.
They would have called him right after the Broncos game. I don't think he'd be playing. But I wonder about the Donovan Smith potential connection. I don't think Bakhtiari makes any sense, but I think Donovan Smith could be a guy that they do check in on, especially if Wanya's banged up. And then I'd go ahead personally, since we got here, I'd elevate Lucas Niang to have another tackle out there in case Wanya gets hurt again and you realize Kingsley cannot finish that game.
Like, that's the problem. It's like, he just couldn't, like, I mean, Mahomes couldn't stand back there. Like, they said 8 pressures in 46 snaps. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. But then it was also like, well, half of those are rushing snaps. And now you're like, well, now you're talking about 1 out of every 3. And it wasn't like, when he lost, it wasn't just a loss. It was Patrick Mahomes had to fear for his own safety.
Yes.
In that, which is the whole other part of this I get into. The other guy who's coming back this week is Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
I view this as he raises the floor. Is he better than McColl or Justin Watson or Justin Ross? The answer to that is inevitably yes. But I'm having a hard time coming up with this equates to more regular points in the offense. Do you feel differently?
Maybe a little bit. The one thing in a really small sample size is we have seen some Justin Ross snaps these last few weeks. If they want to go with a little bit of a bulkier personnel, that's a Juju role that makes a lot of sense. And I would be interested, especially in the red zone, because none of these guys are exactly downfield burners at this point in their career. But if you have DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Travis Kelce all on the field at the same time, all being able to work against zone coverage, all being deadly against the short and intermediate ranges, That's a legitimate trio that I would be kind of excited to see out there. You're going to still see Justin Watson. They trust him to do pretty much everything. And he's a very different player, Juju, than Watson or Worthy or Hardman or any of those guys. So it is a little unfortunate that the slight redundancy might be Juju and Hopkins. But I think they've got to have a plan in place for figuring out how to keep those guys on the field together. Because I'd rather have Worthy on the outside in Watson's role if he's running a clear out or some other sort of deep post, something deep downfield. Let Worthy do that while your veteran zone beaters and intermediate threats should be able to find plenty of space in this defense.
I would think so, but like again, I think the redundancy problem is very real in the sense that unless those Xavier Worthy deep balls are going to start getting completed, how does this make sense? And I guess like where is the issue there in your mind? I still feel like that's close. I think we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but like I still think it's close, but yet I can't figure out why Mahomes hasn't consistently been able to find Worthy on those plays. It was Worthy's fault a couple of weeks ago, but we all know the throw last week was Mahomes throwing that ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I also think it's close, but I am also worried about it, if that makes sense. Like, I am fully in both of those spaces.
Yeah.
Because to your point, Worthy walked one out of bounds 2 weeks ago, Mahomes threw one out of bounds last week. If those are connections, The NFL world, I think we'd still be responsible about it, but the national NFL world would be breathless about how Xavier Worthy is the new weapon that's going to unlock the Chiefs offense. Instead, those are both incomplete by about 3 feet total, and now it's, you know, is he going to be a first round bust? So I think continuing to push that is important because I do think it's important to be there by January with him. The thing that concerns me is in part what you mentioned there with Mahomes. I don't think he really wants to throw that ball as much as he used to. We saw him struggle with MVS. I mean, that was mostly MVS struggling, but like we saw that connection struggle. And I think maybe Mahomes has just sort of learned to love the intermediate stuff and the short range things because those deep shots are a little riskier, especially when you can't fully trust that receiver. He always knew where Tyreek Hill was going to be. He trusted DeAndre Hopkins on a deep bomb and about triple coverage. So I think there's a chance that relationship does click into place here and somewhere in the back half of the season and that Xavier Worthy is a legitimate weapon. I would also, in the meantime, I would have him out there for as many live reps as he can get, even if that comes at the expense of having a Justin Watson out there doing some similar cardio routes. The other thing that they trust Watson to do that Juju can do is some of the interference, the pick plays, the rub routes and all of that. So I think you can upgrade the, like, veteran-savvy wide receiver position. But obviously, again, Watson is a better downfield threat, or at least a more legitimate downfield threat than Juju would be.
Could it be chalked up to offensive line, like the deep stuff?
It's that, too.
Like,
yeah,
I mean, some
sure.
of it's just like, right, he doesn't feel like he can stand back there that long, and when he can, he rushes it because he's like, shouldn't I have been hit by now?
Yep, no, that's a good point. I think that the rush is the rush throw in a relatively clean pocket, I think, is what happened to the one that he missed to Worthy, right? Where he threw out of bounds, if memory serves. But that's a very good call. That very frequently there has been real pressure that would make it hard to target downfield. And when there hasn't been real pressure, Mahomes, I think, has still felt some false pressure because he's kind of earned that reputation this year from his offensive line. It's hard to trust that you're not going to get your head knocked off from your blind side after you have, you know, seen Nick Bonito absolutely rip that corner like three snaps in a row.
Yeah, that was the one that was just like, I can't keep watching this. This is terrifying me. Well, I'll ask you, you have to give me a score prediction, but how do you think this game is actually played on Sunday?
I have been waffling. I will give you a score prediction just because I needed to yesterday, and I'm just going to stamp it in because if it changes teams, it wouldn't surprise me.
I sometimes forget that I like the score I gave before, and I'm like, this one.
I write it down just so I don't have to remember multiple picks. This is the life that I lead now.
Smart.
I am very narrowly and very unconfidently, and I guess I did give this score before Harrison Butker went down, but I went 23-20 Chiefs. I think this game is every bit as close as it seems. I do not know if either side of the ball has a breakout performance for either team. It could totally change all of this. I think lower scoring is my inclination. I think Josh Allen still has a really nice game, but I do believe in what the Chiefs defense is selling. Getting a little bit more juice out of Joshua Uche would be great in the pass rush, but trying to figure out, like, do we corral Josh Allen? Do we crush the pocket? We can't flush him out. That's not going to work. I think he'll get a few big plays and impressive Josh Allen moments over on this defense, but I don't think it'll be quite enough. I'm relying on the Chiefs offense to do its job here, though. And if it ends up being 24-17 Buffalo. It wouldn't surprise me if it's 27-17 Buffalo. I don't think it surprised me. Ultimately, though, I think one way or another, we're going to be talking about the Chiefs offense on Monday, for better or for worse, when hopefully we should be talking about the Chiefs defense that I'm going to continue to stand behind. But this could absolutely go either way for me. I have no confidence whatsoever.
Dream scenario, they win, and then Charles Omenihue and Isaiah Pacheco are coming back in addition to it.
Yes.
Although I don't know, for no reason at all, I just decided to get myself convinced that they're going to win this game, and then I'm going to have to go back and revisit 2011 when the 13-0 Packers somehow lost to a miserable Chiefs team.
Oh, wow. I forgot about them. We said 13-0?
13-0 Green Bay Packers team lost to a Chiefs team who had just fired Todd Haley the week before.
Was that Nile Davis housing it in the open, opening kickoff, and then, yeah, they got Romeo the job. I remember that game pretty well. Hold on, the Chiefs would be 10, 11, 12, so it'd be the Chargers then would be week 13.
Yeah.
Sunday night football, oh no!
But 10-0, that stands out because it's like undefeated against a bad team. Like, no one would ever predict they'd lose to the Panthers.
That would be the funniest time for it to happen, objectively.
Yeah, absolutely. For radio purposes, it might be a dream. Josh, I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again here soon.
Sounds good, Cody.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk to you later.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.